Hey guys, welcome to another podcast. We've got a really cool class today. We finished off the topic from generosity from last week, and we went into a few different angles on it.
Yeah, good chance to look at it in a deeper way, a bit more than just a superficial way of looking at generosity, perhaps at how your intention and thoughts and speaking play into it.
Well, after all, we're trying to turn this wisdom into an actual ability, not just keep it as knowledge that we remember, but make it something we can practice in our life. So, great class coming up. Get into it. Enjoy.
Yeah, we're sharing it with you.
So generous. So, yeah, we had examples of generosity. Yeah, you've got yours.
I think I remember Berlin's.
Okay.
Because...
How come you don't remember yours? Because
I don't think I gave a very good answer.
That's all right. So we learn from good and bad examples. Yeah.
What's your bad example?
I think I said generous with time, but I don't think it was very good.
Oh, no.
I remember Berlin's because it was at work. Yeah.
No, finish yours. So, because some people weren't here, so they didn't hear it.
My not-so-good example is that I'm generous... sometimes with my time at work, but then when I reflected on it more, I realized there's certain people who, if I see them struggling, I will be like, oh yeah, I'll go out of my way to help you, and then other people I'll like, you know,
run away from,
yeah, pretend I didn't see them struggling. And when I say generous with my time, I mean I'll do things that are not necessarily my job to do, but to help people when they need help.
Okay. We've got a challenger over here. Challenger, ready. Gladiator, ready.
I was about to say, maybe you are being generous, but in a wise way, because I know you and you are very generous, but maybe the people you see struggling who you don't help, you don't think that you going over would improve this situation. So if you went over there, it wouldn't be an act of generosity. It would be sort of a more ego trip.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or laziness. Yeah. Let's go with that. You're reading them.
I have a question. How do you know if you're being generous in a wise direction or supporting laziness?
Ooh, that's a good question. Should we wait for the other two examples or three examples that haven't come out yet before we start?
Side note.
Yeah, yeah.
Side note question.
Okay, that's gonna. So you can start thinking about that because we're bringing that back. But right now, Hardshell, can you give Belen now that she's not here?
Oh, no, I just realized what I was remembering was her art, not her generosity.
Her art's great, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's the one that stuck in my head. Generous to people, like, will listen to them and make them feel heard and feel supported.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a generosity as well. It's like whenever someone talks to Belen, she's like really feels them. And when you say something, she doesn't just change the subject or, yeah, that's great, and move on. She actually makes you feel like she really understands you. Somehow she has this power. We all gave ours, so we'll give you ours when you give us yours. We're not showing you ours until you show us yours.
That's how generous we are.
I'm probably good.
Yeah.
I just thought of, well, first thing that popped in my head was generous for material goods, but I'm not sure in a wise direction. Depends what they use it for, I suppose. But like, I'm not really materialistic, so I've got no problem with sharing stuff that is, you know, mine as well. So generous in that way, but how that relates to being generous in a wise way, not sure.
Yeah, John's always been like that. He's always like, yeah, you can have it. Here, have that. I'm going to leave. And he'll remember to bring stuff, drop it off. It's like part of his natural character is to share. He's not really stressed about it. And when we first met him, I had all these people coming to a stretch class and people were taking my lacrosse balls. And Vince turns to me and goes, oh, have you got any lacrosse balls? I'm going to give one to John. And I was like, well, yeah, but I'm selling them. Like, I've just given half of them away. And Vince was like, all right, I'll give him one of mine then. And went and got one. And then I felt really bad. Because then it was after I got to know him more, he was always generous. And I was like, damn it. I was like, being not so generous to a generous person. But yeah, naturally generous, definitely. So does anyone have an opinion on whether materials is a wise form of generosity or not? How can you tell?
If I just was generous with beer, so came to class and bought a case and went, everybody, yeah, here,
wait,
a beer.
What sort of beer?
That's being generous and not a wise, in a blind way. It's not really helping people in a wise direction, but the other day I brought a TV here for a monitor for trying, it's bigger, so it might be easier for everyone to see. For hopefully it works, if Tim can get it up and running. So if that's generous in a wise way, because it might help the class learn philosophy, obviously, for you. So
nice.
That's, yeah, what I thought of.
That's one way, yeah, that's cool. Right? Yeah, that's cool. Okay, we've got one more person's generosity. Did you share your generosity last week?
I don't have a hairline.
podcast.
Yeah, that's where I was.
You didn't share at all.
I'm not really sure at the moment.
Okay.
In other words, sitting here, I can't. Nothing's. I was trying to think about it, but nothing's springing to mind.
I think I got one.
For Maren.
Yeah.
Oh, get there.
One thing that I observed is you sharing your positive character. Like every time you come into class or yeah, and you're always like really positive and sharing that good mood.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd say she's a lot in the same direction as Belle as well. She always, when you talk to her, she always listens and responds in a positive or gives her honest opinion. She doesn't just pass it off and go on to the next subject or, you know, like move along. She actually draws it back to your subject, which is another kind of generosity. Okay, so back to Sean Pig's question. We need an example that gives us a clear way of defining it, because we might be in a situation where we need to observe more deeply. Valerie Beaker.
The result of that act of generosity, whether it causes suffering, either now or in the future, in the future.
Suffering for who?
For yourself and others.
If your act of generosity creates suffering for yourself or anyone else, now or in the future, that's a potential not wise suffering, or not what was the word? Blind generosity.
I think a further point to that is that it's a bit deeper than our usual classes, but simply once thought, all good karma becomes bad karma eventually. Good and bad karma are the same. It's like you said, you know, this moment it's good, but it's part of a karma in a mess world that just swings in life and death and reincarnation. Yeah, so good and bad karma are in the same cycle, if you will. So that's why we separate spiritual karma from that. So you're correct. It is, you know, it could have come from a place that caused suffering, and no doubt as long as you're stuck in reincarnation, there'll be more suffering. So good and bad in that respect, like once you learn, you're aware of that, the aim is not to be in good or bad, but to constantly be in spiritual karma. So maybe that's a bit further on than just generosity, but you raise a good point, like what's generous right now might not be consistently joy and come from consistent joy. In fact, it most likely didn't.
So, if it's not creating suffering for yourself or others at any point in the future, that wouldn't be wise. But the question, how do you know whether your generosity is feeding greed, specifically getting back to Pumba's question that doesn't directly answer?
It all mixes together, so there's a lot of stuff to go over. But if in this world, right, if I do something that I think's good, and actually that good will have a relative bad with it. So Sean wins Lotto, bang, relative good. I am a millionaire, woo, I'm awesome, look at how good I am, let's go partying. But then I connect to people that only care about me for money. So, I've got all these bad friends that are actually using me. Relative bad. Can't handle not trusting people. So I feel suffering, right? Or I live a life full of satisfying my greed and I don't develop anything because I've got all this money, right? So relative good will always come with relative bad. In Buddhism, they say it's like honey on the edge of a knife. Anything you think is good is like licking the honey off the knife. You're going to get a cut. You're going to cut your tongue. That's what this life is like. It's what fast-paced mess world karma is like. Relative good has relative bad. That's why we call it good and bad. But spiritual has no good and bad. Spiritual is aware of all the potential for good and bad and free from that suffering. So when we talk about generosity, what Valerie said was right. You observe, is my generosity going to bring suffering to someone now or in the future? Or is it going to bring... is it going to help them get rid of suffering now and in the future? So giving someone beer, debatable, because it depends on that person's ability to handle that generosity. Running a spiritual philosophy class?
Generally speaking, spiritual karma.
Right? I'm not giving you guys something you can go and create suffering for yourself with any more than you would of anything else. We're not sharing with you something that's bad for you. We're sharing something good. So there are some things that are purely spiritual generosity, and there are some things that are relative good and relative bad generosity. And the ability to actually be generous and kind involves the ability to observe the person you're connecting to, their level, their ability, their character, their blindness, and find the generosity that brings them out of suffering, not gives them the power to go further into it. It's quite complicated. So, yeah, you make a very good point, Maren. It is very complicated. But the point is to learn to observe so we can be more aware of how we're spending our time. Because before we even had this conversation, did anyone even consider what is something they might do that's generous? Did anyone know of anyone else's generosity? Not so much, right? We don't think about it. We get pretty much trapped in what we want, how we feel, what we experience, what we think each day. We don't think outside of that unless a class like this. Sivu asked us the other day, he said, where does causation come from? And we all gave our answers and we went around, had big conversations and disagreed and agreed.
Causation
and then
or suffering?
Huh?
Causation or suffering?
He said, where does blind karma come from? But then when he came back, he said, all right, you want the professional answer? First of all, it came from me asking the question. Because if I didn't ask, that's what he meant. If I didn't ask that question, what would you guys be doing on a Sunday at 6 p.m? You wouldn't be talking about blind karma. We aren't that wise. We don't observe that sort of stuff. We'd be playing video games and watching Game of Thrones. Our natural instinct is to go like that. But higher consciousness, their generosity is to create situations like this, where we talk about wisdom, where we learn eternal Dharma truths, where we learn about ourselves, observing self-being wisdom, or practice Tai Chi, something perfect. Because without their influence to help us connect to something perfect, we only connect to our own blind karma, our own blind causation. So that's all we know how to create. So, yay! So you can judge by the result if it brings you or someone else suffering now or in the future. You can safely say that's not wise generosity. But the rest, you can't be sure. So if I go give a baby, here, baby, have a pocket knife. Really expensive pocket knife. Thank me, baby. The parents were angry at me. Stupid parents. They don't know how valuable that knife is. It's not wise generosity at all.
So is it safe to assume that if you are doing an act of generosity that isn't in a spiritual direction, then it will eventually have negative... like it will eventually cause suffering to someone.
Anything not in spiritual will eventually go from relative good to relative bad. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to create relative good when we're mm-hmm. interacting. It just means that we should be aware of that and know the difference between spiritual karma and...
So is that would be just temporary,
yeah.
The other one. Yeah.
Yeah, not eternal. Constant change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so that's the question. We talked about this last week as well, where we said there was Pure Name Buddha and Dragon Buddha having a conversation. And Pure Name Buddha's will is to help Bodhisattva raise the level to be more close to Buddha level. He asked Dragon Buddha, he said, if everything is illusion, all the appearing form is changing and anything you can share will change, how can you truly be generous in an illusion? So in answer to your question, anything you can share is illusion. You, no matter what you give them or share with someone, it's going to disappear eventually anyway. So it's never really true generosity when it's in that direction, is what they're saying. A little bit of a kick in the ass for all these people that think they're generous, but they're only sharing materials. Because in Buddhism, materials is the lowest form of generosity.
How about internal generosity, internal, external? Is that something you spoke about years ago?
Yeah. Internal is the one, I think it was...
I thought that was discipline.
Yeah, but there are two different sides of generosity. There was one for material, one for information.
There's material, time, wisdom.
That wisdom would be internal?
I think that might be, you might be right, that might be discipline.
What's the difference between internal generosity? Is that when you're generous to yourself? I don't understand.
I think those two words might not be a generosity thing.
Yeah, that was discipline. Okay. I remember that for discipline, to internal discipline and external discipline.
So I remember a concept of it getting broken up. I specifically remember it being one type for materials, other for ideas and wise ideas. Wisdom, ideas and wisdom.
Yeah, so you can share materials. You can give someone tea, money, food, clothes. That's materials. Lend them a car if you want. That's all materials, right? But if I share time to spend with someone to help them out with a problem, I'm being generous with my time to help them. But if I share time, but I also share food, and then I also share the wisdom to help them with their problem, that's all three. Does everyone understand that? If you understand that...
Can you share emotion?
Of course you can share emotion.
So that would be in like the... What section would that be in? It's not a material.
It wouldn't be a generosity because you're getting something from that emotional sharing.
Oh.
It's not to share...
So it's not generous. So smiling for somebody else, would that be an act of generosity?
Yeah, it's like you're letting go of your whatever your feeling is to show them joy.
Mm.
Rather than holding on to your negative feeling and making them feel your negative feeling, you want to share with them a positive feeling.
Does intention matter for an act of generosity? Does it take away from the generosity or add to the generosity?
I think intention does matter, because the series of events goes intention, thinking, speaking, action. So for the action to manifest as generous and spiritually generous, you must need to have the intention. And if your action is appearing as generous, but your intention isn't, it's not truly generous.
Okay, so why might someone share if they don't have a generous intention?
Personal gain.
Okay. Can you think of two examples, like maybe someone who's seemed like they were sharing, but you felt an underlying distrust, or it's turned out later on it wasn't quite there, and alternatively, someone who's sharing is so seamless, so free from ego, that it's only now that you reflect on it, you know they're truly a generous being. Maybe so even observe yourself.
A bad example and a good example of generosity you have witnessed.
I guess family karma is one that comes to mind. Sometimes when my dad is generous with his time, wants to hang out and do things, usually it comes with many different strings and hooks attached. So it's generous, but to get something, whether it's like obligation to hang out again or constant phone calls and chats and things, like there's always a condition attached. So that's kind of like a blind generosity, I'd say.
It's actually not even really generosity when that's in there, is it?
Yeah.
It's not generous, because it's actually their own greed for whatever they want is driving the kindness. And if they don't get what they're driving for, they actually...
Just deceitful.
Yeah, it's just rude. It's just tricks on tricks. Good one. Any more?
You know what demographic does that a lot? Single men. Sure, let me pay for your dinner. Can I buy you a drink?
Oh, all that is the goodness of your heart.
Totally. Because I'm so generous.
Yeah,
there's probably a couple of side notes in that, but I thought that was rather funny.
But that's the intention trade-off. So you can't say it's just one. It like takes two hands to clap.
Mm.
So for Jono to go to have dinner with his dad and then be like, oh, he's so not generous. It's like, Tibu told me ages ago, he was like, if you observe it without personal, if you weren't related to your family, would you hang out with them? And I was like, I don't want to say the truth. He was like, observe it. He said, if you saw that person walking down the street and they asked you to sit and have dinner with them, would you?
Probably not,
right?
Having said that, if they fed me and clothed me, not being blood relations, for the first 20 years of my life, maybe.
Taught you how to speak.
But he was more saying, if you're looking at it from a spiritual consciousness perspective, the people we're normally connected to through family, I mean, you guys are obviously a little different, but most of the time, our family karma, Marin and Romany are related, so it doesn't work for them. If your life is with a will or a purpose, then spending time with anyone who doesn't have the potential to learn spirits from you is going against your will. You're technically wasting time. And I'm not saying there's a spectrum, obviously. There's like Buddha, pre-Buddhasava and Buddhasava, and then we're like down here somewhere. So I'm not saying we have to aim at this level, but it made me realize that the more I try to help my family, it's actually just my ego trying to help my family. It's because they're my family and I feel like I should help them. But the reality is they're not interested in learning from me. They're not interested in learning philosophy yet. Their heart is not looking to learn that kind of wisdom. So me trying to connect to them for that purpose is pure ego. Whereas Sivu said, like, he was kicking my ass once and he was like, you always go and waste all this time like seeing your family when you should be here training. And I said, oh, I have to though, it's my mum. And he was like, yeah. Siddhartha Buddha was born as a prince. And he walked away from being the king, disappointed his family, because he said, no, being a king isn't as meaningful as teaching eternal wisdom. And I was like, yeah, but that's way... Like, I went to say, that's way easier. And he was like, really? Walk away from an entire kingdom and that position of power you think is more difficult than you walk away from your family? I was like, yeah, checkmate. So again, it's all a spectrum, but if you observe it from that perspective, you want to not observe your life from your perspective. Our own perspective is the blind perspective, remember. We're trying to look from a neutral perspective or awakened consciousness perspective, which doesn't have those excuses. It doesn't give you that leeway where you're like, yeah, but my life's really hard and I should totally just follow my blindness. It's way easier.
Family karma falls into the good and bad relative as opposed to spiritual, if that makes sense. Like, you have a karma, like, you're born on this earth in a family, you have a family karma, which is in the illusion, which is in the good and bad, but it doesn't, except in some cases, doesn't fit into the spiritual karma direction. That's why you don't, like, it's a hell karma to disrespect your parents, because there's a karma there you have to acknowledge and you have to interact with, but it's not a spiritual karma, it's a good-bad cycle.
It's called a DNA karma test, and it's your journey to learn to remain in harmony with it, which means not with, but not against, and you don't need to get angry or frustrated. You also don't show disrespect, but you also don't follow blindly. It's crazy. Crazy test. And we've all got one. Yeah. Go us. We made it this far. But, so technically, it's his dad's blindness, but it's also through Jono feeling like he's obligated to connect. The seed of that is partly why he's also connecting to that karma. And he allows his dad to play that game and he falls into it. It's like encouraging his dad to have that game. And it's not easy to kind of draw lines like that. But if you're if you're not sharp and wise, you're getting influenced by that karma. We all are. So if your true value is developing spirits and wisdom, spiritual family should be actually a higher priority than karma family. Because they're not looking to learn and they're going to pull you out of spirits or pull you out of wisdom into blindness because they see everything through that blindness.
Yeah. That blind angle. You have to pick your main supporting causes preference to what you value more, you know? It's one thing to say I value my spiritual family more, but if you go and act like you're spending more time with your karma family or something else, then you know what your action says. Intention, thought, speaking, action. Action's right up the top there. That's the one that manifests.
Yeah, and Tim said something really interesting last week, that we are the result of what we truly value. If we truly value something, that's what appears in our life. Whereas if people say they value Qigong, oh, I love Qigong, I love Tai Chi, show me Qigong. Oh, you can't do it, or you don't know the form, or you haven't actually learned it yet. How do you know you value it then? Do you know what I mean? So whatever appears in our life, whatever ability we have, whatever we value, that shows, is like Pig said, through our action, that's what we've already got. So right now, we have to look for our future. What do we value and what do we want to appear in our future? Now we start planting those seeds because that's what the tree will... If we don't plant those seeds, we accidentally plant other seeds and that's what comes up.
So anyone on the generosity question?
A bad example?
It's a bad example? Okay.
This is observing myself years ago before learning philosophy, and I think my generosity had that as well, like a hook. I don't know if it's greed, but it's more towards possessive. So like food or materials or whatnot to like potential partners kind of thing, to sort of nest, I guess, in a way, but to create that attachment or that dependency.
Possessive emotion style.
Yes, okay. Yes. So generous in that direction, and that was my example.
And that's the flip side of the coin also, right? Yeah, so you talk about guys being fake. Two hands to clap kind of thing. You can't say it's one or the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with, that's why I brought up that example actually, because you said that and
it's
good example. Hold on.
I've got an example of how the bad one can become bad. I'm quite good at it. I do something nice and then after I've done it, I feel great about it and I want to bring attention to how great I was for doing it. I'm like, oh yeah.
You don't like attention.
I love attention. It's even better when it's for a good thing, you know what I mean?
Ah, that's what you said the other night too. You were like, started singing, what can I say?
It's like, look what I did for everybody. It's great. Just did it then. But that's like, that's an emphasized version. Like that intention's, that seed is still in me and I try and play with it to maybe mellow it, but you can see it in I'm trying to think of a good example. When someone does something nice and their facial expression says smug rather than kindness,
it was like when someone donates blood and then they have to tell you all about it for so much, like, I'm so good, I did this.
That can be one of them. The ego can slip into our kindness, which generosity is a part of. So that's one to keep our eyes out for.
I've got an example.
Yeah.
it wasn't even my generosity, and the bad seed still popped up in me. It was when I first started living with Sifu, and I saw him like doing all these nice things for people, but then they would just like leave the dojo and not like say thank you. They'd just walk out, and then we would left cleaning up this mess. And he was like, we were cleaning up, and I was like, I sometimes feel like people aren't that appreciative of your generosity. And he was like, I don't care if they appreciate it or not. As long as their life gets better, that's all I care about. And I was like, oh, your generosity. I was annoyed. They didn't appreciate it. And then you went, dunk. That's how stupid. I was like, ah. So that shows that I have that. If I do something and people don't appreciate it, I can get a little bit, they don't appreciate it. Which is my blindness. And it's not good that people don't appreciate, but you don't do it for the appreciation is the point. If you're truly just being generous because you enjoy sharing, you don't care if they appreciate it or not. You don't even care if they say thank you. As long as you see their life gets better through that, you're already happy. But it's like, they don't appreciate your generosity and I'm not happy about it.
It's like when you give way.
Oh, yeah, no.
Thank you. Yeah, no, thank you.
Where's my work? I think that's a lot about generosity. Does everyone have a clearer understanding of generosity?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you be truly spiritually generous in an illusion world where anything I can give you will change and time disappears?
Sharing eternal wisdom.
Sharing eternal wisdom. It's like, what's that mean? You could teach someone philosophy and they only take it in from mind and then they turn into a know-it-all crazy mind game guru. So there's a certain part of that that you need to add into it to make it true generosity. You got to help them to wake up, to be aware that life is an illusion, to be aware that that illusion, if it's all an illusion and you're aware of it, then your heart will naturally feel joy. You don't have to get anything and there's no suffering really there, so you're awakened and you're free from it. But then you see all this other life still in suffering, your heart naturally opens. Oh, I'm going to go help them also wake up from this illusion. And you help them become aware and awakened to realize life is illusion, then they're also out of that suffering. Does that, do you understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. Yeah. So I want
to. Can we talk about Sean Big's question about.
Repeat the question?
It's how do you know if your generosity is truly generous or it's just supporting someone to be lazy?
Well, I have a good
example. Ooh, okay. Yeah, Anna.
So my dad's family, there are 9, and they have one sister and one brother, which never work. And all of the brothers support them and give them money. And my dad really didn't like give them money because he said that he support them to be lazy and to rely on the other brothers to give them money. So they will never develop the ability of being independent economically because they will always put their hand out and everyone will be given money.
Did you say economically?
Sorry?
Good work.
So that's a bad version.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we know when? So if we're looking at a situation, how can we decide if what we're intending to be generous with is going to support laziness or be wise generosity?
Could you say that Belen's father was generous by not supporting their laziness?
It's one way of saying it, isn't it? That's true generosity, whereas the other one was just supporting laziness. Actually, the opposite. It's bad karma. But we need like a way of knowing it. We need like case. We don't want to observe after. We want to be able to observe before we involve. This is how our level will rise. Yep.
Could it be observing the person, as Valerie was saying, observing the person's character and the situation they are in. And for example, the example that I gave, maybe provide them with a skill, you know, like, oh, I'll pay you for a course for you to be, you know, like, do a course for you to be able to work for yourself or something like that, instead of just every month give them money. And
so the difference is, one is materials, one is teach, share an ability. Help them develop an ability. An ability creates a power. So if someone's always broke and they come to you, oh, I need money, and you keep giving them money, they're always going to need money. But if they come to you and you go, you know what, I'm going to teach you how to do something, and then you're going to go and work and earn money doing that, they've all of a sudden got a power, a new skill, and a confidence. So that's in a wiser direction. That's one way. That's definitely one way, is teach ability. And what Olaf said before is help them, teach them eternal wisdom. it's actually the ability of eternal wisdom, not the knowledge itself. The information is just knowledge, but being able to turn that knowledge into an ability to be able to do Qigong, to be able to heal yourself, release tension, heal others, and observe wisdom and observe life, observe different situations to understand all the causes, that's observing self-being ability. So that is the ability that we're all trying to develop. We're not trying to remember a bunch of ideas and hold them on a piece of paper and keep them on us forever or remember them all. We're learning to wake up an ability. And that's what Bernard just said. So usually sharing an ability in a positive direction is a more wise kind of generosity than just sharing materials. But it doesn't mean sharing materials is bad. Like if someone's hungry and you share them food, that's great. So it's every case by case is different. We have to observe to see it. And we have to be able to observe the person and their character and actually what they need. And that's why we need to develop wisdom ourselves so that we can be free from our own blindness to then be aware of other people more. It's really awesome ability. It's just very hard. And we're very, very beginner, so...
Yes.
But also sharing an ability could potentially lead to a bigger ego.
Totally. Yeah. And sharing... We learn pretty crazy martial arts skills. So if I go teach someone a weapon form or how to use a sword or how to attack... And inside them is a very hateful person. I've just armed a crazy person. Like, so we have to be very sharp. That's what cause and effect is. We have to observe what causes we're creating. So just being generous because I feel like being generous isn't wise. Actually observing to see where my generosity is needed and what my ability to be generous really is, that's wise. I don't try to be generous. I try to observe and be more aware. And then generosity will appear naturally.
If you want to truly be generous, you need to be able to observe that person or that situation to have to choose the right approach.
Mm.
Yeah. So how do you develop that ability?
You're learning it right now. Okay. It takes time and you copy other people. Like I watch Tim and sometimes Tim will be not generous and I'm like, whoa, what happened? And I ask him, why weren't you generous in that moment? He's like, I had this weird attitude about it. Like it'll be a friend of his that comes and... like bothers him for something all the time and he just pulls his generosity away because he doesn't feel they respect it. They don't appreciate it and their intention's wrong. But he can feel that. His natural ability to feel that is there.
Mm.
So he's, for me, he's quite a master at kindness already. He's like naturally in it. And he's...
Well, I definitely get gut feelings about certain people, but I don't know whether that's based in any wisdom or if it's just like
a feeling. Any feeling you get, you need to understand all the reasons it's appeared. And then it's no longer a blind feeling. Then you can observe it and go, okay, it's coming from all of this. And you observe it and go, oh, it's coming from this, but actually that's a blindness in me, so that's my own stuff, but that's actually in them and I can feel that. And the more you observe every feeling you have, the more clear your life becomes. It's no longer blind feeling, it's actually your feelings are information.
It's a tangent, so I'll just put it out there. But if you want to start observing other life, the definition of I has all the illusion eyes. And if you can start doing that to, or observing yourself, categorizing and observing yourself and other people, and it gets into character I and stuff like that, you can start, like, I mean, character I will say quite a lot about someone. You know, someone can show the same negative character in 5 or 10 cases, and then you know that's their blind character. And if should I help them if it's going to bring that blind character out? No, that's not a time to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a...
But one way of being generous might be, hey, did you know you have this blind character? It's really scary.
Characters. Wait, what was
the Dictionary of Lives, if you wrote a book. And in it is called the Dictionary of I, or Definition of I.
Definition of I.
Yeah, and it starts with your like biological I. And your
human.
Yeah, male, human, and then your relative eye, which is to what family, to what friends, to what position, work, like occupation eye, talent eye, there's label eye, which is your name. There's so many of them, and it, like, when you read that, you're like, so, okay, if that's all my eyes that I'm aware of, how do I define true eye? Walks your head back in on itself for a bit and you're like, whoa. And you come out of it feeling like, I'll read that later. Nah, but that's a lot for generosity. I just thought it was cool to finish off the topic from last week and we turned the whole class into it. Well done, guys.
Nice.
But I actually wanted to ask you, why do we care to learn generosity? Out of all the cool things we can learn, why generosity? Why do we start with that? Ooh, that was a half hand up, put down.
I was just going to say, because it's the first Bodhisattva It's a first Bodhisattva character.
Okay, that's a good answer. It's got to be valuable. So why is it the first Bodhisattva character?
Because generosity is teaching us to hold nothing and to share, which is the opposite of being possessive and taking life as not illusion, as something real. So if you're able to be generous and to share, it means you're not being possessive and is towards the direction of being awakened to understand life as illusion.
Did everyone understand that? He said a lot of big like buzzwords in there, so can you make it more flavour, less like I'm remembering it and more like this is how I feel about it?
Does it help? Generosity is first because it teaches you to how to share and not be possessive, because life is constantly changing and you can't actually hold anything, so it helps you develop that habit or that discipline.
That's a good one. Let's see if they caught it. Did everyone catch that? To summarise, our suffering comes because we don't understand, we're not aware of life. And the main thing we're not aware of life is that everything that appears is constantly changing. We don't understand that from heart. Even now we kind of understand it from mind, but if you go out and get a parking ticket, you'd be pretty chewed up over it. You'd be like, oh, $200 down. Because we don't recognise that things are temporary from our heart. Because we don't understand everything's constantly changing, we have a innate urge to get what we want. It's like a feeling of, if I have enough money, I'll be safe. Or if I have enough things, I'll be comfortable. That's the illusion. Deeply, we all fall for that. But what Jono was saying is, if greed is the one that causes us to do that, because we don't understand the truth of life, then the opposite to what we blindly want to do will be more wise. So rather than trying to get, actually, the system of life is teaching us to share, and to be generous is the opposite of greed. So if our default is greed and it creates suffering, then start practicing generosity, get rid of greed. Because I can't be generous and greedy at the same time. That will be very confusing for everybody. Here, have this. No, it's mine. So that's why, because the Bodhisattva characters are teaching us how to become a Buddha-level consciousness. And by starting with action, so the action of generosity will eventually build the intention of kindness from in our heart. And when we get really high level, kindness without any ego. And that's the first eternal heart. But we don't start by training our intention. We are not that level. We start by practicing with action. Here, have some stuff I don't need. Oh, thanks, Sean. That's great. Yeah. Beginning of generosity. Until one day I actually appreciate the moments I can be generous. And I start to recognize the opportunity to be kind. And not only do I appreciate being kind, but I appreciate every opportunity that appears. Where, oh, I can be kind there. I can be kind. You can be kind all the time, everywhere. There's no limit to how kind you can be. There's no time where kindness is not accepted. But we barely tap into that because we are still trapped in, if you've got like 90% of the time is greed and 10% of the time is kindness, you know, try and get a ratio of where your heart sits. In every moment, you have a choice. Do you be wise or do you be blind? And we very rarely even are aware we have that choice until it's too late and we've got suffering. Then we're like, ah, where did this suffering come from?
When you have no wisdom, you need someone to come and teach you. Like, you need someone to share their wisdom with you. And why would someone share with you if you're not willing to share anything yourself? So that's why generosity is the start of it all. Like, no spiritual teacher is going to come up and say, here, I'm happy to share with you, even though you don't share anything. Like, spiritual teacher will look for someone who's already looking to share so they can share with them.
And they will share it to someone else when they learn it.
Yeah.
And the other thing, if you're not generous to yourself, you're not going to allow the time to learn something. You're going to be too busy at achieving all your goals and getting everything. But if you're generous, you'll be like, whoa, I need to give myself time to learn this. That's a great student. But the person who rocks up going, come on, I need to learn this now. I've got to be somewhere. We're on the clock. That person's painful to teach because it's hard to teach someone something really difficult. And if they're impatient and they're frustrated because they can't do it, then you're like, I'm sorry, man. I'm trying my best to teach you this. It's really hard. But someone who's generous to themselves allows themselves time, patience, enjoy the learning process. They will learn much further than someone who's not patient and not generous. There's so many reasons why generosity is first. It's so cool. But that's a lot for one day. You guys copped the wisdom stone. Well done.